Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 to 33, starting at verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him onto the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already over a mile from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. Around 3 a.m, he came toward them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. Immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter answered him, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. But then he saw the strength of the wind. He was afraid and began to sink out. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly you are the Son of God." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Hello, I am Dr. Rob White with the AULC Ministries with our message this week. I'm happy that you can take a few minutes out of your busy week to be with us today. Now, you may not remember how it was when you learned how to walk. First you crawled, then later you took a few steps holding onto someone's hand, and finally, you're able to walk by yourself. Now, you may have learned how to ride a bike much in the same way. First, there was training wheels on your bike, and an adult helped you learn how to balance, and as you continue to practice, you are at last able to steady the bike and ride without assistance of others. There are certainly times when we need the help of another. Learning how to skate or swim. Going down a steep slide for the first time. Learning anything new can make us feel a bit fearful. We can also feel frightened when we encounter something that we don't understand. At those times, we may need someone to lean on. Someone to hold us up until we have become familiar with the new activity and are strong enough to do it on our own. Jesus spoke to his disciples, teaching them about this very thing. His disciples were in a boat far from land when a strong storm came up and battered their boat. The story tells us that Jesus came to them walking on the sea. We see this in Matthew 14, verse 25. The disciples did not understand what was happening and became very frightened. Jesus says, "Cheer up, it is I, don't be afraid." We see that in Matthew 14, 27. Jesus stretched out his hand and took a hold of Peter, one of his disciples who was trying to reach Jesus as he came toward the boat. When you feel frightened, it may help to remember that God is always with us. So always, cheer up, it is I, don't be afraid. Now I wonder how Peter and the other disciples remembered this story after the fact. They had all been frightened when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Peter makes a fool of himself by stepping out on the boat and sinks. And while I was thinking about this story, I came across an article by Philip Yancey, where he talked about his grandmother's tendency to recall difficult times with a touch of nostalgia. Yancey then mentioned polls that suggested that the London Blitz, where London was on the receiving end of German bombs, and that was for many Londoners one of the happiest times of their lives. It might not have been happy at the time, but they remembered it happily because a new spirit of community and patriotism sprang up to the eclipse, even to the horror of bombs and V-2 rockets. Now, Yancey went on to tell about elderly people who happily swapped stories about the Great Depression and World War II, two of the most terrible times of the past century. Yancey noted that they speak fondly of hardships such as blizzards, the childhood outhouse, and the time in graduate school when they ate canned soup and stale bread for 3 weeks in a row. This comes from an article that Yancey wrote called Happy Memories of Bad Times, which appeared in Christianity Today, March 8, 1993, on page 88. Now, I think that Yancey has something here. I have recounted hardship stories to my children often enough that they roll their eyes, and when I start a new one or an old one too many times, they'll say, "Yeah, Dad, we know." And then they'll say, "You walked 5 miles back and forth to school every day, uphill in both directions." Now, I think their mother taught them the last line, uphill in both directions. So I can imagine that the disciples would remember the story of Peter and the storm fondly. "Hey, do you remember the time that Peter stepped over the side of the boat, sank like a rock?" And they would all laugh. Now, they wouldn't laugh in Peter's presence, of course. Peter was the alpha male of that group, and you had to be a little careful. But that's what made the story so delicious. Here was Peter, strong Peter, tough Peter, stepping out of the boat and sinking like a rock, hollering, "Lord, save me!" And I'm sure that every now and then the disciples would resurrect the story and a few more like it just for laughs. But they weren't laughing that night. They were in a storm, in a boat, in the middle of the sea, and they had been with Jesus all day before, and they'd been rowing against the wind most of the night. They were wet, exhausted, far from home, and I can't imagine circumstances much more miserable. But then one of them spotted something odd. It looked like a man walking across the water. The disciples were fishermen, and they knew where they were in the middle of nowhere, and the only thing they could imagine was that they were seeing a ghost. Now, the problem with seeing a ghost, of course, is that you don't know what to expect. You don't know whether they're really seeing a ghost or if they're just simply going mad. The most frightening thing, of course, is that the ghost might be coming to make a ghost of you. Now, it's worth noting that the disciples had not made the decision to cross the sea at night. Jesus told them to cross the sea, and they were simply following orders. Did you ever feel like you were doing what Jesus wanted you to do and only to find yourself in trouble? Well, that's happened to me more than once, and my throat tightens up, and I'm having to force back tears, and, well, you've been there. You know how I felt. Some years ago, I found a story of Mother Teresa who found herself stuck in the mud in one of her journeys for Jesus and expressed it perfectly. She shouted out, "God, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you don't have many." And that's exactly what I had my wits about me on nights like that. And I would have shouted, "If this is the way you treat your friends, God, no wonder you don't have many." Well, at any rate, I can appreciate how the disciples felt in their little boat in the middle of nowhere with a storm raging around them, doing what Jesus tells them to do. Now, Matthew doesn't say that they were afraid. There are other stories where they were afraid, but in the story here, they were just tired and miserable until they saw the ghost. When they saw the ghost, they were pretty much unglued. These tough fishermen had faced death more than once without flinching. But then they flinched when they saw a ghost. I'm sure in years to come, they would manage to nudge each other and tell their ghost story and laugh. But they weren't laughing that night. They were wet and exhausted and miserable and scared. And I can't say that I blame them. But in preparing for this sermon, I came across a quotation that fits, a quotation that we all ought to learn. The quotation is by a man named Cranfield, who wrote a commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. Cranfield says, "If it is a result of obedience to Christ's command that the church or the individual Christian is in a situation of danger or stress, then there is no need to fear." Now, isn't that great? Cranfield says, "If it is a result of obedience to Christ's command that the church or the individual Christian is in a situation of danger or distress, then there is no need to fear." What that means is this: if you're doing what God wants you to do, by the grace of God, it will come out okay. That quotation reminded me of the late Henri Nouwen. Nouwen was a Catholic priest, an author, and a much beloved man. When he visited Rome, he had the privilege of conversing with Mother Teresa. He told her of some of his problems and asked her for advice, and she replied, "If you spend 1 hour a day in contemplative prayer and never do anything which you know is wrong, you will be all right." Now, some people would be put off by that answer because it seems so simplistic, but Nguyen was not put off by it, not at all. He says, "With those words, she answered none as well of all my problems at the same time. It is now up to me to be willing to move to the place where the answer could be heard." Now, once again, Mother Teresa says, if you spend 1 hour a day in contemplative prayer and never do anything which you know is wrong, you will be all right. What she's saying was simply this: if you're doing what God wants us to do, by the grace of God, it will come out okay. And it came out okay for those disciples. Jesus told them that who he was and joined them in the boat. And when he came to them, the storm stopped. When Jesus comes to us, when we invite him into our hearts, the storms will stop. That's not a promise that you will have no problems if you follow Jesus, because that isn't true. The disciples had many problems, and they began to follow Jesus after that. Nguyen had problems. Mother Teresa had problems. I have problems. You have problems. But when Jesus comes to us, when we allow ourselves to be quiet for a few minutes and invite him to guide us, the storms abate. When we know that Jesus is with us, we find that we are no longer afraid. When we are doing what Jesus wants us to do, we can be sure that everything will come out okay. In the days ahead, you will face many storms. Some of them will be little squalls that just pass by quickly. Others will be full-blown hurricanes. Get ready. Invite Jesus to join you, to come into your heart, to direct your life, to guide you day by day and moment by moment. If you do that, when the storms come, you will be okay. By the grace of God, you will be okay. And whether in life or death, you will be okay. That's our Lord's message for this Lord's Day, and I hope you got a blessing out of it. Go out this week, be a blessing and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you all for watching and listening, and we'll see you all next week.